Hey, we were here. We're in a few minutes behind this morning. We were once here. Last of the Mohicans. That's our theme song. All right, my friends, welcome back. What do you got going on over here?
Making a shake, dude.
Gosh. Yeah. Welcome, my friends. We had a couple-minute glitch here, so welcome now as we're live to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. You know, I feel like you're doing some science experiment over there.
Yeah, I like doing this kind of stuff. I was in lab for so long in college. Yeah. So, I mean, it was one of those deals. It was great. I'm taking my oh, by the way.
Purple Sticks, GHI, yeah. Collagen, my gosh.
Thanks for joining me for breakfast. I've already had my eggs, and I have my Purple Stick, and now I'm having my collagen.
Omega-3 DHA, back in stock. Talked about it yesterday. Be sure to check it out on the site.
Great product.
If you need it. It's, probably one of the best omegas that we have on the site, and we restructured it. It's got 60 caps per bottle now, so check that out at healthmasters.com. Why he uses his little fancy spinner over here.
Hey, my fancy spinner does a great job. It doesn't make as much of a mess as the other one does.
Yeah. Well, let me get into a topic. I want to cover this. This is interesting because I've talked about it more and more, and obviously I don't make this stuff up. It says herbicide mixtures now, all these different herbicide cocktails are having significant damage to the gut, disrupting healthy bacteria and triggering inflammation responses at levels that are unprecedented. New peer-reviewed study now has come out in articles of Archives of Toxicology examined glyphosate alongside two other common herbicides, dicamba and 2,4-D. Rats exposed to the chemical combination developed significant intestinal inflammation, tissue damage, oxidative stress, and leaky gut.
Wow.
Kind of sounds like what we've been talking about for the last couple of years as far as why the gut epidemic, I should say.
And that's why the collagen is so important. And, by the way, we have three different types of collagen in that formula. It's a really, really high-quality product. I know you could, find other types of collagen out there, but, where are you getting it from? How's it being made? I mean, this stuff we use is
what
is
it 100% grass-fed, too? Because that's the other factor.
Well, no, they don't always. But how do they know?
On top of that, though, you got to think. What if you're getting collagen, and it's a bunch of processed, as far as from a bunch of processed cows and a bunch of antibiotics.
They need a bunch of glyphosate.
Right. It says the findings raise significant concern about how the safety of agrochemicals is typically evaluated, because regulators generally assess chemicals one at a time rather than the combinations.
There you go. Sounds like drugs, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds like other things, too, like they have the schedule that they give kids. It says the study comprises the most comprehensive investigation of the impact of glyphosate on gut structure and function. The study is also first to examine the combined effects of glyphosate, dicamba, and 2,4-D at relevant.
There's a poisonous compound.
Yeah.
Well, cocktail.
The problem is, they're saying here further in this article that almost everything is testing positive for these three herbicides now. Like, everything. So you're eating this stuff all the time. They're showing you what it's doing to rats now as far as the guts. They said the findings showed the levels of these herbicides when ingested as a mixture has adverse effects that are not safe at all, and that regulatory assurance of safety is false. The study led by glyphosate expert Michael Antonio comes amid escalating concerns about chronic exposure of agricultural chemicals, particularly in communities towards large-scale farming operations.
It says that glyphosate, so you got to go back up again. The glyphosate has been shown to cause cancer.
Yeah.
Has been a controversial cause. It says it may cause cancer. No. It does cause cancer.
And it says animals exposed to this herbicide mixture show chronic inflammation throughout the entire intestinal system, vascular congestion, tissue abnormalities, and structural changes in the small and large intestines.
Well, look at all these people now that have these different types of Crohn's diseases and all these other ileocecal.
Leaky gut.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And this is why I've told everybody, I'm getting emails on this all the time. And the biggest thing you've got to do is, A, you've got to cut the processed, ultra-processed foods out of your
and
diet.
And the bread.
And the bread. Well, any of it. Bread's ultra-processed for the most part.
And that, unless it's organic bread. I mean, you go to Europe and you can eat bread, it doesn't affect you. Go here, you feel horrible the next day.
you've got to cut the food out. You've got to cleanse your body. You've got to do at least a three-day GHI cleanse fast to get your inflammation response down. The body needs at least 72 hours to start repairing the gut lining. And the problem is what happens is nobody goes for 72 hours without eating glyphosate anymore. It's in everything.
That's in everything. If you eat out, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. And especially if you eat stuff like processed cereals.
Well, let's talk water moccasins.
Water moccasins.
We're going to talk water moccasins. I was down at the dock this morning. They're having to do some repair on it. And I asked the guys, I said, how many water moccasins do you see hanging under the docks? You know, they slither up.
Well, they'll coil up in a little perch on top of the
dock. No, because I have. One time
been
I remember.
Been there, done that scene.
I remember one time we had one that had a neighbor's had a boathouse.
Yep.
And, had wood walls all the way around. It was old days, old school. And I remember we walked in there, and there's like a 6-foot water mox about that big around, coiled up on a 2x8. You know, he wasn't coiled, he was laid out, strung out. And he was laying right there by the door. We saw him, and we had to, go out to the backside to get out. Slammed the door so he couldn't get out. We didn't think about him jumping into the water, right? Because he'd just go right to the water.
Yeah.
And so the neighbor went and got a 12-gauge shotgun. He was a hunter. And he found where the nails were, where that truss was. He put it right there, boom, blew a hole through the show, and we cut the thing in half, killed it. We were always fighting those things.
Yeah.
But now, nobody sees them anymore. I haven't seen a water moccasin in that lake for at least 10 years,
it's
15
funny you
years.
Say that, because I just had that conversation with Hunter the other day, and he's like, Dad, you can talk about snakes all the time down here. He goes, I've never seen a snake down at the lake.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not making it up, son.
Yeah, 25,
we dealt with them our whole life.
20, 25 years ago, I remember I told you that story where that guy had those bushes piled up down at the lake, and the whole pile was filled with snakes. You don't see that anymore.
I mean, I got photos of me when I was his age holding them up above my head. They're as tall as me. No head on them after you shot them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're a serious problem down there, but you're right. They're gone. I don't see them anymore.
Well, no, and that's because of atrazine and these other chemicals that they're putting into the food supply that basically get into the water in the lake, and they prevent the reproductive cycle of these reptiles, period.
Well, the problem is everybody now wants to have their, well, I don't care anymore. The weeds won with me, too.
I finally gave up.
But no, I know a lot of people, they have all these really nice yards, and it's cool looking. The problem is when that stuff's sprayed every single week, all week, it runs off into the lakes, and it's causing significant problems.
And, here's the thing. The biosystem, it could basically handle if one person on the lake was doing this on a 1,000-acre lake. But they don't. It's like everybody lives on the lake wants this perfect lawn. And now they started putting these little berms in front of the person's property and these new developments to prevent the runoff. It doesn't help.
No, it still seeps in.
It seeps through, yeah.
It's interesting here. It said, I forgot about this. It says in February of this year, the Environmental Protection Agency announced that it had reapproved dicamba for use on genetically engineered cotton
there
soybeans.
You
know, I find it so ironic with EPA. You know, a couple of years back, if you modified your diesel truck, it was a felony. They were fining people millions of dollars. Actually, they tried to send two guys to prison for it. They were basically building tunes to delete their trucks. They were actually making the trucks a lot more efficient, got better fuel mileage, way less soot, way less fuel burning. And EPA was just going after everybody. But, hey, we're going to prove dicamba to be used on genetically engineered cotton and soybeans for people to basically ingest in these oils. Totally fine. Nothing to see here. The EPA is a walking joke. I mean, they're a joke of an agency. I remember there was a guy out in, it was up towards North Florida. There was a story on a while back ago, and he basically had this pond. He was collecting rainwater.
I remember that.
I mean, they came out there and basically fined him. He was illegally collecting water and dammed up water on his property in like 10 years, all that bunch of acreage. And somebody turned him in.
He was eating it for irrigation.
Yeah. Hmm? And they said, you can't do this. You can't stop the water here. You can't collect rainwater. And they fined him. Fined him. But hey, dicamba and soybeans, cottonseed, totally safe, guys, even though now here they're saying these three together is causing significant gut inflammation.
Last night I had a friend of mine, Ron, text me, and he said, if we're not careful, we're going to basically lose, the midterms. I just said to him, it doesn't matter. Now listen to me. Don't get mad. It doesn't matter. The same people who are in control right now, what is Trump getting pushed through controlling both houses? Nothing. Because the lobbyists don't allow it. The lobbyists who control this EPA nonsense and all these chemicals, they don't allow it because they're paying these congressmen and these senators all this money for reelection all the time, taking them out to fancy dinners, buying them golf clubs, taking them on vacations, all this stuff. You think, well, they don't do that.
Oh, they do.
Oh, come on, guys, really? It's the same thing with the doctors. You know, if they sell a certain amount of prescriptions, you know, they can't give them money, but they'll take them to a fancy vacation in Hawaii, pay for their hotel rooms, pay for all their meals. What's the difference? Give them a set of golf clubs, pay their green fees. I mean, all of it. And you think, well, that's a $20,000 vacation. I didn't get any money. You just got a $20,000 vacation, dude.
Yeah.
Really? You know, we're going to give you a rental car, too. I mean, all of it. So you think,
yeah,
well,
the John Jacob Astor suite to St. Regis. You know,
I've never even seen something like that over there.
I was looking at photos of it.
Did you really?
Yeah, they have it online.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of these guys stay in stuff like that, though. Also, well, it was just a vacation.
Was it $10,000-$12,000 a night, isn't it? Something crazy.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, think about this for a second. Who pays $12,000, $10,000 a night for a room?
Lobbyists.
Lobbyists. I mean, what do they have those things there for? Is anybody really that crazy?
No normal people stay in those rooms.
That's $360,000 a month to stay in a room?
Yeah.
You'd buy a pretty nice house for that.
Gosh, yeah, you could. It's funny. It goes on to say here, it says Bayer, which acquired Monsanto in 2018, has already paid more than $12 billion settling lawsuits filed against Monsanto. The company still faces more than 60,000 lawsuits nationally. And I personally think over the next probably 10 to 15 years, if history actually is written and AI doesn't modify it, I think we're going to see Roundup, glyphosate, this whole thing with Monsanto and Bayer is going to be one of the biggest agrochemical scandals in world history. History, in my opinion, when it actually, at some point in time, these agencies have to come forward and say, this is a problem.
I have two words, exploding pinto. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're going with.
Rich is back here laughing. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. They discovered that there was a certain type of accident if a pinto, which is a Ford product, got into a rear-end collision.
This was back in the 70s.
His car was destroyed. His reputation was gone from this. That if you had a rear-end collision where the gas tank was, that the rear light, because it was so close to the gas tank, would arc and explode the Pinto. Now, they knew this.
That's pretty sketchy.
No, they knew it.
Yeah.
And so they analyzed, what's it going to cost to retrofit all these Pintos and change the assembly line? And they figured out that it would be cheaper to go ahead and just pay the lawsuits than it would
for the deaths?
Yeah. They always do that. The bean counters. You get these bean counters. They like to breathe free air. Okay, they got these big noses. And they breathe free air, and they're always like this. You always see them like this. You know, they got a little green light over their head. And what they do is they calculate. They're like little
the penny.
They're like the Borg. You know, they're always calculating, and they're always down to the penny. We had a car dealership locally, and they got bought up by the boys to breathe free air, and. We asked them one time, I mean, what do you guys, this is awful. You guys have changed everything. And they go, well, they check every invoice.
Every month.
They send somebody to the dealership every month and check every invoice on every sale, on every part, on every repair, on every sale of new cars and used cars.
Coming with a box of highlighters they send.
Yeah, and they mark it. And if there's not at least a 10% markup on a bolt that costs $1, they have to get 10 cents. They go and say, you know, we don't have a 10 cents here. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, really? Now, I understand that you've got to be really careful and you've got to be able to organize detail, which is the primary cause of business failure, the inability to organize detail. But the reality is that there's a certain point when you're spending time with somebody to find that 10 cents, it's costing you more to find the 10 cents than it costs you to pay the employee. Because you have to pay the employee to find the 10 cents. And so it turns into a knot. But these guys who breathe free air, they're the bean counters. They're the ones who specialize in Babylonian money magic and how to enslave the masses through debt collection and on and on and on. Let's make sure we tell you you can't file bankruptcy anymore after we put you in debt because we don't want you to be freed from being a serf, you peasant.
Well, that's what they've done with the student loans.
Exactly.
My whole
done.
Generation, I mean, vast majority of kids my age and younger than me are saddled with student debt, now that I know. And the problem with it was nobody explained, even when we were younger, nobody really explained to anybody how bad this stuff was as far as these student debts. I remember back in the 2000s.
Trillions of dollars.
I knew tons of kids. Southeast University, they were getting these student loans, and they had these big apartments, and everything was. I mean, they were living off the student loan money on top of paying for everything. Great lifestyle. Everything, just go to class and party all the time. Everything's paid for. Well, all of a sudden, they graduate, and we graduated at the fun time, 2008. right in the middle of the crash. And I remember everybody goes, gosh, nobody's hiring. Everybody's laying everybody off. I got $100,000 in student loans now I got to pay, and they come due now. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you don't work for 4 years. You live off all this cash. And the problem is you can't bankrupt it.
No, not anymore.
That's why I always recommend, and he taught me this, do 2 years at community college, get your AA. That transfers to any major university you want after that.
And live at home.
And most of the time, if you got decent grades, you can get a bunch of state grant money in college, basically grant money. What is it? The scholarships.
Yeah. But, you know, the biggest problem now, and by the way, you guys have fun with this because I don't know how to do it. I know how to raise a kid up to about the age of 10. After that, I'm done. I'm out. I have no idea how to do it. And I love the people like my – we had a lady who her name was Aunt Jenny. And she's in heaven now. And she never had any kids, but she's always giving us advice on how to raise children. I love
don't
people like
love
that. Oh, yeah, it's just the best. And people are always asking, well, how do you raise a teenager? And I'm like, I have no idea how to raise a teenager. It turns into a nightmare. And then they go through a phase where they are mad the whole time they're teenagers. And then they hate you after they get to be 20 years old. And this everything's your fault. And you're like, what did I do? I paid your bills. I fed you. I clothed you. I housed you. I gave you cars. I paid your insurance. I did everything for you. Paid your college. And now you hate me. I'm like, that's great. Have fun with that. So if you don't have a child who did that to you, congratulations. I am extremely happy for you. I will help you to adjust your halo because I don't have one in this area at all. And it's just how it is. You know. But then you realize a lot of these kids, they do the same thing. They get out. They go, I'm 18 years old and I'm leaving now. I'm going to go get student loans. And you're like, are you insane? You can live at your house. I don't want to live with my mom and my dad because they tell me I can't lay out all night. Well, you shouldn't lay out all night. They're right. They tell me I can't go get drunk with my friends and I can't go to strip clubs. Well, they're right about that, too. Well, they're telling me that I have to eat clean and work out. They're right about that, too. They can't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want to do.
You got to remember, when you're 18, you act like you got a halo over your head at 17, 18 years old.
I didn't.
The problem is,
But I didn't do drugs.
Yeah.
I didn't get drunk. I didn't go out and party.
And you didn't have student loans. But the problem is a lot of times now, these kids, and I've seen this now, this younger generation, especially this TikTok generation, is they've got this really, it's almost humorous sense of grandeur. I've talked to kids before.
They do.
Like, I'm 19, 20 years old. Well, as soon as I get out, you know, I got a job that I'm going to be taking with a company. I'm going to be making like $2 million a year.
Who? I'm going to be driving a G-Wagon.
I talked to a friend of mine a while back ago, and they were like, oh, yeah, well, you know, when I'm going to do this, I'm going to calm down and settle and get everything going. When I get a job, I need to at least be making $1 million a year in this.
I've heard that so many times.
And I'm like, where? Here's the thing. What value are you bringing to the marketplace? What skill set are you providing? What unique, complex problem are you solving?
There you go.
Oh, I could do TikTok dances. I'm like, congratulations, you're gay. Get out of my face. We're not hiring you. It's a joke. it's funny. This younger generation. And the problem is a lot of this is social media. The kids have watched these videos.
And
they think they're going to do all this stuff when they get out of college.
And then what happens is they do all this and they can't pay their bills. Suddenly they don't have a car. And suddenly the car they had that mom and dad had, they wrecked it. And now they can't buy another car. And now they're like sitting here and now they can't pay the car insurance because now they're like, well, if I just get my car to work again, mom and dad are back there going, we told you not to drive drunk.
Student loans kick in, and you're paying $500-$700 a month on those.
And then they try to find somebody. Can you help me get my car fixed? No. Can you help me get a job? No. You have no skill sets. Well, I can do a TikTok dance, and I'm like, you're mentally ill. What's wrong with you? And then they get 23, 24, 25 years old, and their life has gone to crap, and now they're angry. And they're mad at their parents because their life has not turned out the way they wanted it to. They thought they were going to be multimillionaires at 21. Let me say something to you about making money and earning money and all the rest. It's a process. The Bible says, he who earns money little by little makes it grow. Unless you're a trust fund baby brat, and I'm talking to you if you're a trust fund baby brat. Because if you're not a trust fund baby brat, you actually have your head on your shoulders, right? And you know how to do things and work. My hat's off to you, but the majority of them are trust fund baby brats. Look at all the money I got. Well, your parents gave that to you. Your granddaddy gave it to you. Well, yeah, but look at me, look at me. I got this fancy car, and I'm on vacation all the time, and I go hunting every year for 4 months. And you're going...
I mean, that sounds fun.
Well, no, it does. But the thing about it is that unless somebody gives you that lifestyle, you have no idea how you got there, and you have no idea. That's why within three generations, unless the money is structured, there is no money left. I've seen it over and over again. By the way,
anyways,
this ties right together.
Switching gears.
Skilled trade is now rising in value. I know more people who are plumbers and electricians and block masons. And basically stucco men.
Well, the demand's getting higher, and basically the supply is getting lower. Less people are going to trade schools for that now.
Well, it's too lazy. You know, for decades, society pushed the idea of success only came through a four-year university degree, which is a lie. And skilled trades were treated as second-class careers and second-class citizens. Total lie. The entire model is now beginning to reverse itself in real time. The economy simply cannot function without electricians, welders, plumbers, you know, AC guys, mechanics, linemen, machinists, and construction workers. Yet governments and universities spent years encouraging younger generations away from those professions, and what we are now witnessing is the economic consequence of that social engineering experiment. If you don't go to college, you can't be successful. I've got a friend of mine right now who's a multimillionaire, lives down the street. He does AC.
Yeah.
And he has a company now running AC products.
Well, Florida, the thing is, I've taught people this, and I've tried to explain to people, especially young kids, if you're wanting to get into a skill or a trade, you have to have something that always has a demand to it. Like in Florida, we always have to have AC down here. You get certified in HVAC, you're always going to have jobs to do down here in Florida, period. Same thing with roofing down here. There's so many different options you can do. I mean, like lineman, one of my best friends is a lineman. He's been doing it for years, makes great money. The power has to stay on. Linemen probably have one of the biggest first line jobs over almost anything. People undervalue linemen because the fact of as soon as your power goes out, nobody knows what to do anymore. They're the first guys up on the pole in the middle of the hurricane when the transformers blow out, and they're basically getting up there, you know, middle of lightning half the time to do it. That's why they get paid so well. It's a really dangerous job. But again, you know, I knew a kid years ago. He was trying to figure out, he was like 18, 19 years old. Dexter told me about him, and he was real skilled in that. Got out of high school, said, you know what, I don't feel like going to college. Ended up selling up. He's like 22 now, making like 150 grand a year.
Well, and right now it says electricians, many of them make over $100,000 a year. Plumbers make more than that. Here's a trust fund baby example. Here you go.
It's a trust fund baby.
I talked to her last night. She's trust fund baby, right? And I won't give you any names or places or whatever. She says, my dog needs to have his teeth cleaned.
Well, they make toothbrushes for that.
No, listen. And I said to her, oh. She said, well, my vet doesn't want to do it. He's sending me to a place that specializes in teeth cleaning for dogs. And this is going to blow your mind. This is last night. And I said,
I don't even know what to say right now.
And I said, well, how much is it? So she called and made an appointment. And she's booked out 2 months to do the teeth.
What? 2 months?
This dental place for the dog is booked out 2 months.
Canine dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what it costs to clean the teeth?
I don't even want to know.
Between $2,000 and $6,000.
What?
Hmm? Dog
getting braces?
No.
No? No braces?
Yeah, I would buy one of those chewable things and say, eat this dog.
That's what I do with Thor all the time. You give him those bones and
clean his own teeth.
Yeah.
$2,000 to $6,000. Now, she said, and they don't even know if they want to do it, if they'll take me as a patient. And I'm like, wow. And the dog's whacked out, man. The dog is a nutbag dog.
Gosh, you would say, tell me these stories sometimes. Well, here's the thing. Well,
no, wait a minute. This is a trust fund, baby.
Yeah. That kind of cash.
She goes, I don't want to spend that much money. And I said, don't do it. Give it a bone to chew. No, I've got to do it. And see, the problem is, and I'm not going to pick on you, ladies. Don't get mad at me. Observation here. And I guess guys can
it's
do the
Friday.
Same thing.
This is one of
I know.
Today.
It's just that they ain't your children. I can't believe you said that. Well, I know you got the stroller. I understand that. I know you walk around with the dog in a stroller.
With fans on it.
No, with fans. And the dog's got a dress on. I got it. I've seen it all. Dog is unbelievably humiliated. It doesn't want to be in a stroller. It doesn't want to have a dress on. It's paranoid. It's got its head stuck under the covers so nobody will see it. It's terrified you can do something else to it. You call it. It runs away from you. Oh yeah, that's the dog. And all of a sudden, it's like, and you can't train it because you've made it so schizoid. It poops all over the house. You got pee pads down because you can't find a way to make it go out to the bathroom. And it's so terrified of you, it won't come to you. And so when you try to make it and train it not to pee, it pees all over the house, poops all over the house. But yet, you spend your money on dresses and a little stroller with fans. And little windows. They put little windows on the strollers now. And you say a little sign on it. Don't touch my dog. Ridiculous. I've seen it all. And you think, it can't be. And there was this TV evangelist one time. They had this big network out of California. And she'd walk onto the set pushing the dog in the stroller. And I'm like, and she had pink hair. The woman had pink hair. A total loon. And you're like,
oh, don't lie. You love pink hair.
I really don't. And I can't stand it. And I sit there and laugh, and I go, what the heck is wrong with this picture? But that's what people do. They, their dogs become their children. Now, let me say something to you. I've had dogs. I love dogs. I've had outside cats, not in the house, unless they stuck in, which would immediately take them to the Humane Society and be done with them. But the reality is I like dogs. I love animals. I really do. But they have a place in your life. I had Baron. He was a great Malamute, great dog, dumber than a box of rocks. Would have killed every cat he found, but great dog. And I finally told Sharon when he's like 7 years old and I was traveling all the time and she was going with me. I said, and we were always kenneling him. I said, why don't we get him another home that he can basically be with somebody and be with kids and do this? And she says, that's a great idea. And we had him adopted out. He was adopted out like 2 minutes. We took him in. They already had somebody wanted a Malamute. And it's just, they take a lot of time. They take a lot of money. I remember one time he got caught in a hot wire. And man, it was $3,000 to get him stitched up. I'm like, what the heck is this all about? This is back in the 90s. And I thought to myself, do I really want to take on this expense? A lot of people, they can't make their car payment because of their pets. You think, well, yeah, you start paying $2,000 to $6,000 to get your pet's teeth clean. I'll be honest. When she said that to me, I thought she was joking also, but she was being serious. And she said she's going to do it. And then she told me, she goes, if I had to spend all my money and live under a bridge to keep my dog alive, I would do it. And she wasn't kidding. She goes, I'm serious about that. I said, I know you are. I'm not even arguing with you. I got it. And that's just part of it. But no, but so if you're basically a kid or a young man or whatever, or a young lady, and you want to learn a skill set and learn how to, see, here's the thing. You say, well, I don't want to be doing a plumbing work for the rest of my life. Okay. Then what you do, you start a plumbing company. You learn how to do it. You get licensed, okay, work for it 2 or 3 years, and then you hire other people to work for you.
Exactly right.
And you build a network up of 10 or 12 plumbers, and you put big trucks on the road, and you say, this is my plumbing company on the side of the truck. Here's my phone number, 800, you know, clean your drain, you know. And all of a sudden, now you have all this stuff going on and on and on and on. And now pretty soon, you got all this revenue coming in. You got these plumbers working for you, and you're like, wow, this is great. And make sure they sign non-competes within a 100-mile radius. Just thought I'd mention that.
That's an important one. I was going to say, if you start your own business with stuff like this, be very cautious of that, of training other people and skill sets. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they had a pool cleaning company, and basically they had an issue where they had two top guys they had trained for the last, like, 2 or 3 years, and they knew how to do everything. The chemicals, I mean, they had to connect with all the contracts, all the companies. And sure enough, the two of them colluded, basically left the company, started their own pool that could directly compete in the same town. I was like, ooh. They didn't have a non-compete sign.
I knew a guy in Tallahassee. He did that. He was basically worked in a coffee service.
Yeah.
And he had like 500 accounts. He was working for another company.
Yeah.
And he decided to start his own coffee company. And he went and poached all the companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got a big lawsuit with them. And he had to pay... The fee. He had to pay it.
Well, but he signed a non-compete.
Well, but the point is he just kept it in court. They paid a penalty, kept his company, made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do because it's not. But the point was you got to be careful with people that go out and try to compete against you after you train them. By the way, here's what the final thing says. The younger generation is starting to recognize the opportunity of blue-collar work. A degree no longer equates to a solid financial future, especially if you major in underwater basket weaving. Okay. Economic security.
My favorite is gender studies.
I don't want to start on that today. After that horrible movie. Economic security may no longer come from chasing unstable corporate office jobs, which I think are awful, but from acquiring practical skills that directly tie into infrastructure, manufacturing, transportation, and energy. These sectors cannot disappear because modern civilization depends entirely on them operating properly. Your roof can't leak. Well, it can, but you have mold everywhere. I've noted the value of apprenticeships. Real-world experience is far more valuable than one can learn in academia. Traders on the ground level know far more about the markets than someone who's never had money on the line. It is something that absolutely cannot be taught in a classroom. In Germany, they have to take exams to go to college because the college is paid for by the state. And they say, well, you're going to be blue collar, you're going to be college material, you're going to be this. We're going to put you in the right direction for you so we can know that.
Based on what your primary skill sets are?
Well, if you have an 80 IQ, okay, you're not going to be an electrical engineer. Okay, yeah. You're not going to get a PhD. It's just not going to happen. It won't. And you say, well, I can't believe you said that. You know, I can do all things. Well, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, except I can't dunk a basketball. You say, you're laughing at me now. Now, this is Friday, okay? I used to work out all the time heavy, ready? And I'd do calves and I'd do squats. I said, I'm going to learn how to dunk a basketball. And I did it for years. I'd go try to dunk a basketball.
And all jumps all day.
No.
Still nothing.
Nothing. Okay. So, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's true. But you got to know what your skill set is. Okay. Not everybody's going to play in the NFL. Not everybody's going to be Magic Johnson or somebody else. I mean, you're not going to be that guy. You're not going to start at the three-fold line and float through the air with the greatest of ease, like the man on the flying trapeze and like a Michael Jordan and drop the ball into the bucket. Hey, I don't care how many squats you do. It ain't going to happen because I learned a long time ago, most white men can't jump, period. It's just how it works. So you got to find what you can do and find a way to make a good skill set and make sure that whatever you choose to do has the ability and the income that you want to earn. That's why I said, if I was going to do a construction job, I would get a roofing company.
There you go. Yep.
Now, listen to me. And here's why. The roofs in Florida, it's a 40-year roof. No, it's not. It's a 12-year roof. Unless you go metal, it's a 12-year roof.
Metal goes forever.
Metal goes forever.
Three times price.
But it's about 3 to 4 times price. Now, but everybody wants to go, I'm only going to live here 5 more years. I'm putting me a 40-year shingle on here. Well, you mean a 15-year shingle, right?
Max.
And all of a sudden now you go, well, I have to have the roof replaced. You're like, well, it's going to be $25,000. You're like, but the shingles only cost $6,000. Well, yeah, I got a crew. I got to pay him $3,000. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Well, that means you're going to make like $15,000, $18,000 and your guy's going to be done in one day. That's about right. And the guy, the contractor walks up, he's got his giant 5-pound gold chain around his neck. And you know I'm right. You've seen it. You know I'm right.
Hey, buddy.
You got this big old gold chain around your neck, and you got all these diamond rings.
1.5 kilo.
Yeah, you got a 1.5 kilo chain around your neck. You go, yeah, it's going to be $25,000 for the day.
But what's the option? You're going to go roof it yourself? No, you're not. You're going to pay it. And here's the thing. Somebody told me this.
I can roof it myself, but I won't.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not falling off another roof.
Yeah, it depends on how many squares you got put up, too. You got monster house and a 12 pitch.
Oh, yeah.
I can cable it in. I'm going to get on the roof. But no, here's the thing. Somebody told me in Orlando the other day, and it was interesting. He said, we're constantly trying to encourage young kids now to get jobs or start businesses or have skill sets that can't be replaced with AI. Because if you're not going to be involved in the tech sector of actually AI, he goes, don't be getting jobs that AI can replace. You're going to be an analyst. That's your job. Hate to tell you, in 5 years, your job probably ain't going to exist. He goes, AI can't roof a house.
I know.
Lay block.
I know a guy who's a stucco man. Great guy. And he literally has a huge Barney built just for all of his toys. And he's got so much money, it's unbelievable. And I mean, he's got millions of dollars.
Super successful.
Super successful guy. And he wears that 10-pound chain.
Well, he melted that now.
He melted it now?
When gold gets spent, you don't want to wear it anymore. But no, the construction industry and the trade industry in Florida can be very, very lucrative if you get in the right sectors and you meet the right people.
And you do the right work and you do good work.
And that's the thing. He has unbelievably high quality. Everybody knows. That's why everybody basically constantly goes. Even if he's the highest bid, most of the time, he still bids everybody out because they want to have the quality because they know his name's on. He's picky about it. He is that.
He stuck it in my back porch.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it 20-something years ago, and it still looks perfect.
Yeah.
And you think, no cracks, nothing.
That's one thing I have learned, especially in the construction trade, is that's not always the best option to go with the cheapest bid.
No, one day I was covering up a garage door with stucco, and he goes, can't do it.
Yeah.
I said, you can't do it. He said, no, I can't do it the way you want me to do it. He said, you'll see the crack lines.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, how do you want to do it? He says, we're going to wire lath the entire back. and we're going to rewire. We're going to stucco all of it, and it's going to look like it was never a garage door. It's going to be done right. And I looked at him, I just laughed, and I said, "Do it." And it's 25 years ago, it's still perfect. And you think, this is that guy. And
that's the thing. If you get in these trades, you have to do the absolute best work you can with the highest quality. That's why, even for example, with Health Masters, we don't compromise on the quality of the ingredients. That's one of the reasons why we have such a basically a following.
Loyal consumer base.
Mm-hmm. We got reviews on the products. I always tell you guys.
And you guys see me take the product on air.
All the time.
And Austin does it. Because we want you to know we use the stuff. I mean, it's the best. I mean, if we could make a better product, we would.
Just think, everything on this our site's organic. I don't buy anything. I don't try to get you to basically likes or reviews or anything. I all want everything organic. For example, magnesium brain food. There's a reason why it's got 46 five-star reviews. There's a reason why. It's because it works. These are all verified reviews. You have to have bought the product in order to leave a review. And so that's one of the reasons why I tell everybody, thank you so much when you leave reviews on the product that you like, because it allows other people to see how good they were. I mean, Ultimate Powder, 40 reviews that are 5-star. And remember, this site's in its infancy. We just rolled it out the end of last year. It just rolled out. If we had this site for the last 10 years, some of these things would probably have thousands of reviews
they would,
on
they would. Well, let me give you an example. I had a guy put a roof on the back of the house years ago, you know, and he did a really lousy job in the valleys. And so I had a friend of mine send his crew down 2 years ago, and they had to reshingle the back of the house because the guy basically did a horrible job and had been leaking for years, and he wouldn't come and fix it. Now, would I recommend that guy again? Absolutely not. The guy who basically made a mistake, messed it up. So that's why if you have a high-quality reputation, high-quality product, you have high-quality reviews, and you have high-quality retention. And the same thing is true. A lot of guys get into the business, and they don't realize the importance of keeping their word.
That's exactly right.
I had one guy who was a pool company. He was had a pool business, and he goes, "My dad taught me. Listen to me, friends. This is something you're gonna need to write this one down. My dad taught me, in order to be successful in business, you have to do what you say you're going to do."
Exactly right.
He said, "If you don't do that, people will tell other friends about it." He says, "One person you get mad will tell 100 people how bad you are. One person you deride will tell 5 people how good you are."
Yeah.
You can't come
That's
back.
Exactly
from,
right.
You can't come back from the negativity. And so if you don't learn that at a very early age, always, always under promise and over deliver. Don't do it the other way. "Well, I'll do all of this week." And you're like, "How you gonna do all that?" Well, and it doesn't happen. But now you've paid him, and now it's 4 months later, and you're like, "This is great." You know,
that's why, like, you know, with customers that are in a hurry to get stuff, that's why we have the VIP shipping. And we're pretty spot on with it as far as in 2 to 3 business days. I mean, we got it dialed in with that. So if you need something in a rush, because I know a lot of stuff takes a while now, the Postal Service. And also, too, if you could do me a favor, I'd appreciate this. If you're leaving a review on a product, I love that. I appreciate it. I love honest reviews. Please don't leave a review on a product about the fact that it got delayed by USPS and you're giving it a 2-star review because the product got delayed by the Postal Service. I had one the other day I had to fix. I love you guys. I appreciate you, but don't do me like that. I mean, the post office took like 9 days to deliver it. I couldn't control that. We sent it out the same day it got ordered. They put a 2 product's great. Love it. 2-star because it shipped too long. Guy, call me up and I'll help you out with something better.
That's the Amazon syndrome.
That is. Mm-hmm. It's the Amazon syndrome.
They have their own people to deliver it.
It's Amazon syndrome that's starting to spread in all of their businesses. You got to understand, when you actually operate a real company that isn't funded by the government through DOD contracts, which Amazon is, and they're their own little government entity now, you actually have to do things and actually make things happen. People don't just hand you billions of dollars. We have to get everything we can shipped out as fast as we can. I don't have the infrastructure with a little electric car that drives around all day and delivers packages in 24 hours.
Or now we're drones that are dropping in your front driveway.
That's weird.
I'm gonna
shoot that thing if it goes over my house.
Oh, you won't. He's kidding. He will not shoot the drone.
Allegedly.
Oh, by the way, pandemic panic. Theater 2.0 strikes. It's dozens of Americans are now being monitored for the hantavirus, which in Hebrew, the word hanta means fake or scam. The fake or scam virus. Round one permanently changed our nation, which was the one back from 2020. Round two must not be allowed. I can't say certain words anymore. It's awful. If you felt familiar tickle in the back of your brain this week, the vague sense that somewhere, someplace, sometime, once again, we're being told to be afraid of an acronym. Hantavirus. No, we're not deceiving you. Yes, they are. The Centers for Disease Control announced today that 41 people in the United States are being monitored out of 360 million for a possible exposure. Possible.
Possible exposure.
Okay, that means zero. The number of confirmed cases in the United States is zero. The number of people the CDC says are at meaningful risk are zero by their own admission. Yeah, here we go. Watching the machinery of dread. I like that. Machinery of dread of negative fear porn. Say that. Come back to life like an old generator. Somebody forgot the mothball after 2020. What they're going to do is they're going to dust off Dr. Fauci.
Oh, he's under some hot water right now. I got an article. Can you see what this? Do you see a CIA whistleblower?
No.
This came out yesterday.
Let me finish it with,
okay,
with the,
yeah.
Call it the Pandemic Panic Theater 2.0. The first run was a global blockbuster. We did $1 trillion in sales. Blah, blah, blah. Number one movie of all time. The sequel is now being workshop for real time, and the producers are clearly hoping that you forgot how the last one ended. Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, there's another article that talks about this.
You stinking peasant, put on your mask, or we ain't going to give you a sandwich. And I'm down there in Miami, right? And the guy goes, I won't. No, listen, this is so stupid. We walk in, me and Austin, another guy. In fact, it was the guy who was the stucco guy. We walk in, we said, hey, I'd like to get, a sandwich. It's like a Subway shop or whatever it was. And I'm walking to this counter, and then he says, you can't be here without a mask on. I said, well, can I eat without a mask? He says, yeah. So I sat down at a table that was like 4 feet away. 4 feet. And I said, I need to get a sandwich. I'm sitting at the table now. No, you have to put the mask on and walk up here and give me an order. And I said, you're standing right here. I said, you're 4 feet away. I can shake your hand. What's the... No.
Well, I couldn't get a concept.
You were with me. You saw it.
I get a concept. I couldn't get... I said, dude, why do you want us to approach? Wouldn't it be better if we just stand far away and order? You want me to come up to you when you can hear me right now, but you want me to put a mask on to walk up to you to order so I can sit back down and take it off, but you can hear me?
No, we walked out.
Lunacy, bro.
We went to Publix. Listen, this is terrible. We went to Publix and got a rotisserie chicken.
We did.
And then there were three of us, and we got a rotisserie chicken, so we went back
to the dealership.
To the dealership, and we're sitting there eating a rotisserie chicken like a bunch of, cannibals. No
vegetables. Cannibals? Whoa.
It was awful. No, it was awful.
Cannibals.
I mean, we're sitting at a table eating a rotisserie chicken, and we're going...
Middle of the dealership.
Nice dealership. Oh, yeah, and we're like, well, at least we're getting some protein. And we ate the whole chicken. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it have been just easier to get a sandwich? Oh, but they wouldn't give us. But Publix, they just gave us the chicken. It was fine. We had no masks on.
Publix, they told all their employees not to start fights over the mask. Remember that?
Yeah.
Some restaurants did. They didn't care.
They rest out of Greenwise now. It's one of the Publix. It's gone out of business now. And I was in there one day, and I'm not wearing a mask. And some little sheepish guy's walking behind his wife, and he's wearing his little mask on. She's got her little mask on. You can tell he's a total beta. Sorry, guys, if you're a beta, it doesn't look good.
And especially when you act like that.
Oh, my God. He basically is behind his wife, and she starts chewing me out because I'm not wearing a mask. And I looked at her, and I said, this is Florida. You guys, it's a free state. I can do what I want to do. And I said, you kind of need to mind your own business. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead and knock yourself out. And her husband was behind her going, give me a thumbs up, man. You're talking to my wife. And she's a alpha female, and she'll do whatever she wants to do, and I have to follow her. I'm a Simba. And you're like, I almost told him, I said, dude, just get yourself a set of golf clubs.
Testo Plus. Get a ball Testo Plus.
But Pandemic Theater 2.0, and don't get me wrong, they picked a good one. Rats are nasty.
Well, the thing about it is Hantavirus has been around for over 30 years, as far as we've discussed it. There's been around 1,000 deaths over 30 years.
Oh, by the way, according to one of the inserts from one of the things that you inject into your body, I can't say that anymore either, Hantavirus is one of the side effects of the injection.
Correct. I've read that too.
How about that? What is the dreaded Dr. Fauci? He's like a vampire. He's like a doggone vampire movie listening to Fauci. He comes out in the dark and looks at you.
It's interesting. Finish this up, though. It says, public health should inform, not terrify. Physicians should educate, not inflame. Journalists should contextualize, not centralize. And what they're talking about here in this article, they said, essentially, Hantavirus is on everything again right now. Whether or not it's something that escalates, it's talking about PTSD of what happened to everybody a couple of years back during 2020 plus, and how everybody has to really start learning how to have critical thinking and relearn proportional thinking, meaning actually looking at things with, you know, both sides. That's what I told you guys all the time with this stuff. You got to look at it and say, okay, I'm not going to allow emotions to judge and basically finish up the my, you know, my basis on this idea. Let's look at it from an unbiased standpoint. When you sit there and you let emotions get involved in things, most of the time it never works well. It really doesn't.
No, you need to analyze stuff from a logical standpoint.
Yeah, you've got to regulate emotions. You've got to take it under control and say, okay.
And you have to plot a sustainable solution set.
We've got certain key points. What's going to happen? Where's it going?
And you have to plan a lot of this stuff in advance before it actually hits you.
Yes.
What will I do if they come to my front door and give me an injection? You have to plan that in advance.
Okay, so say hypothetically, what if? What if? And I don't think it is at all. I'm not fear porning. What if this thing turned into a COVID 2.0? What does that mean? That means you need to be stocked up on vitamin C, as we already saw with the last thing in 2020. The D3 levels need to be at a high level. And zinc, those are three you've got to stay on top of on a regular basis. At that point, you need to make sure you're getting enough sleep. You're basically using wisdom as far as where you go and who you're around. And essentially, live life and enjoy after that. That was a thing that saddened me, I think, to an extent during that thing in 2020, is so many people, they lost their enjoyment of life. They couldn't even enjoy life anymore.
Well, a lot of people got really depressed after
they
that.
They did.
And they never...
Suicide levels went to the roof,
Remember, I told you, they never came back down. I told that doctor. I had that doctor I talked to in France two or 3 months ago. And he was a medical doctor. And I said, what did you see the most from what happened in 2020? He goes,
Suicides.
He said, we had so many suicides. And he goes, we had so much depression.
Well, a lot of people lost hope because there was no end in sight. The lying and manipulation and gaslighting was unprecedented. People couldn't see their families in some cases. Certain states were told, we're going to come arrest you if you have more than six people in a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, stupid stuff. And then, of course, that was primarily the unbelievably lying sack of garbage, Fauci. CIA whistleblower on Wednesday, James Irwin, testified basically for Congress that Anthony Fauci led a multi-agency cover-up of the COVID-19 lab leak story. He said the agency, he is afraid the CIA is going to retaliate against him. This was on record as far as he did this under oath.
But remember, that's why they had the pardon Fauci.
That's exactly right. Then this happened. This was basically subpoenaed by Rand Paul. He told reporters expect more news of this. And he went in and said that basically the Biden administration released the August 2021 report that was inconclusive about the origins, even though the CIA knew it had been leaked by the lab intentionally.
You know, some people.
This is crazy stuff.
I'm gonna say something ugly. Every time I saw that man, his little rat face, and this is, forgive me, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do this, but it made me feel like I wanted to do this. I wanted the biatch slap him upside the head because he wouldn't shut up. And I'm like, what is wrong with him? But he's doing, remember, he's getting paid to do this.
Oh, yeah.
This is he, like this. No, these pharmaceutical companies made hundreds of billions of dollars in this. And so he's falling. He's just marching along with what he's being told to do. Then he goes to that basketball game or whatever it was or whatever, and everybody's wearing masks and sitting 6 feet apart. And he's sitting with his best buddy. There were no masks on. And you're like,
well,
okay.
They knew it was a lie.
They're telling you we're two masks, three masks. But that's all it does is reduce those two levels.
It was a lie. Yeah. And interesting, it says Rand Paul's addressing the May 11th deadline to indict Fauci for perjury for lying to Congress.
He can't say indictment.
The problem is, how does that work?
He's already been pardoned.
That covers everything.
He'll run up there with a pardon. Goes federal pardon done.
No, because they're saying that. If what this CIA whistleblower is saying is 100% accurate, he's not lying. Fauci lied in front of Congress.
How much? No, he could be brought in before. He could have to testify. They could make him do that with a subpoena.
Yeah.
They can't convict him as far as I understand how the pardons work. But, you know, one thing that's not a lie are ticks.
No, ticks are nasty.
Why have we have to ask the question, what the heck is wrong and why do we have so many ticks now?
I've heard a lot of theories about that, even going back to Bill Gates.
Jesse Ventura did a show called Conspiracy Theory, a phenomenal show 20 years ago. And he had a thing about Plum Island. off the coast of New York up there, and how they were working on ticks, and they released them into the public, and we've had a massive, massive explosion now of Lyme disease because of it. Now they're having ticks come out. They're supposed to make you allergic to eating meat.
That's exactly right.
And so, I mean, so guys, again, it's the insect stuff. And I hate to say it. God, I hate to say it. A lot of that research was done by the German Nazi scientists that were brought over at Operation Paperclip. And I said, you know, and let me say something to you. Most of the German Nazi scientists are dead now. I got that, all right? But, you know, if you're any kind of scientist and you got a brain on your head and you got a pretty good IQ and you're working with stuff like this, you got to ask yourself a question. What am I doing? What's it doing to the general population? And is that okay? Where's my moral compass here? And that's the problem. A lot of these guys get a moral compass. Guess what happens to them? They suddenly get checked out. They leave the planet.
Well, this is the thing that's happening now. This is unprecedented. We've never seen this. It's called alpha-gal syndrome. It's talking about how tick bites now are triggering sensitivity to meat. Now, what's crazy about this, and I'll have to find the video. Last year, 2 years ago, Bill Gates was actually bragging about this. And another, basically, scientists were bragging about it, how there's a way to make people eat less meat for the environment and essentially to basically infect them with something or give them some type of shot so that they'll stop eating meat. This is what alpha-gal syndrome makes you super sensitive. You have an immune reaction to eating meat. This Lone Star picks up the alpha-gal, essentially. The immune system produces IgE antibodies against alpha-gal. Exposure to meat, dairy, triggers an allergic reaction. It starts making people allergic to eating meat. And so this is actually a real thing. I had heard about it before. And so, again, it's rough, too, because you go up in the mountains, you go up in the woods, you go hunting.
Especially Missouri. Missouri is loaded with ticks.
It is. Got a lot of ticks out
there. I got two tick bites out there.
Yeah. But so whether or not this is nefarious or not, be cautious of this, especially if you're out there. There's not much you can do as far as with tick bites. And I don't know where the I don't know the solution. Is there a solution for that, alpha-gal? I haven't done enough research, and I'll do some more research.
I don't think so. It's like the same thing with the Lyme disease, man, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, it requires a lot of antibiotics. It's a problem. And the thing about it is when they start injecting this stuff directly into your bloodstream with these ticks or mosquitoes, see, the insects are everywhere. They really are. And, you know, so you get exposed to this stuff and they start biting you. I mean, if you ever slap a mosquito that lands on you,
okay?
And now he hadn't bit you yet. You just slap him and blood all over your arm.
Yeah.
That's the blood from another animal.
Or person.
Okay, or person. And he's about to inject that because it's still in his proboscis into you. And you think, well, that's disgusting. Well, they're flying hypodermic needles is what they are. So you got to be careful with all that.
This is the article I want to cover from yesterday. I didn't get to it yet on here. This is one I had Harrison write for me. And it's going into detail now about how these ultra-processed foods are having a massive combined effect on numerous health problems. It's escalating. And in some of this research, they're saying a large percentage of health problems that are occurring now can be fixed or avoided or reversed just by changing your diet.
Duh.
Oh. I feel like somebody used to talk about this in the 90s.
You don't know what I got eviscerated.
I know you did.
I was on WCIE, and I said, you know, your health is directly dependent on the food you eat. And there was this lady who was obese, and she was also on the radio. Her name was Alice Faye Red. And she's dead now. And, man, her husband was a pediatrician. And she went and told her husband that I had committed blasphemy because I had said that your diet could affect your health. And I got called before the church board because I'd said this on the radio. I mean, I could tell you stories. You guys wouldn't even believe. I had to sit in the green room and get chewed out by two medical doctors who were basically telling me that diet had nothing to do with anything and that children did not have to be breastfed. And on and on and on and on. It was unbelievable. And I just sat there and I looked and I thought, what the heck? All I did was say diet affects health. Gosh, that was blasphemy, Austin.
It was.
And that's why a lot of Christians say, just pray over it and eat it. It's all right. It doesn't make any difference. Guys, that's some really bad teaching. I hope you're not doing that.
Well, and here's what's interesting about it. Here it says, you know, we talked about the other day, collagen's foundational protein in the body providing structure to connective tissues and supports the intestinal lining. Says, whilst not its only component is the gut wall, is primarily a single layer of epithelial cells, and essentially collagen is found in that, which is just below the gut line and helps maintain the strength of the intestinal barrier.
Click to show more here.
I want to cover this. People were asking me about it the other day. Repairing damage. Collagen peptides are believed to help strengthen tight junction between intestinal
cells. There you go. That's leaky gut.
Which is like leaky gut. Now, here's what I want to come back to this article. Now, I just covered that. Right here, it says one of the strongest themes across the papers in these research about basically inflammatory issues with ultra-processed food, it says it's gut barrier. The gut, put it on camera, I want people to read this. The gut is not just digestive tube. It is a major immune organ that decides what is allowed in the bloodstream and what should stay inside the intestines. When the gut barrier becomes more permeable, bacterial fragments and inflammatory compounds cross into circulation, creating low-grade immune activation.
So, and look what it says. You get all of this stuff like ultra-processed diets, including emulsifiers, thickeners, synthetic colorants, added sugars, excess sodium, non-nutritive sweeteners like aspartame and Splenda, and microplastic exposure may disrupt the gut barrier integrity, remodel the microbiome, and promote low-grade inflammation. Did Harrison write this?
Yes.
This is excellent. I taught that boy how to write. Man, he writes better than I do now.
So this is why I want to cover this, because this problem is becoming so significant. That's the reason why the collagen works so well for this. But the only way the collagen can work is you've got to give your digestive tract a break from these type of foods. You've got to stop eating this stuff. And the easiest way to do that, and I'll tell you this, because I love ice cream. I love ice cream. I love Haagen-Dazs. I have found that I don't eat very much ice cream if I don't bring it home. If it comes home, I'm going to eat it. Same thing with you. Bring it over there in the fridge. I see it. It's talking to me.
I've thrown it away a lot lately.
I've thrown too.
Have a party here.
It's done. Because here's the issue I found is that a lot of people go, well, I got a dairy problem. You probably don't have a dairy problem. You probably got an issue from ultra-pasteurized, ultra-homogenized milk dairy products. Your body's got a response to.
In my opinion, this is also causing celiac disease. Yeah. Celiac disease is bad. Real bad. Part of your intestine dies.
Yeah.
That's a real problem. And restoring that is, I don't even know how to do that.
Well,
collagen won't restore celiac disease. But the problem
from getting there first, though.
Yeah, but it'll help prevent forgetting it. But that's a real problem. You have entire sections of the intestinal tract die.
We just talked about the three different herbicides that are causing gut rot.
Oh, yeah.
All the food that you're eating is causing gut rot. And then people lack of nutrients, tons of inflammation. You've got the perfect combination for celiac disease or leaky gut. I mean, they're giving it to you on a platter, guys. They're putting it on your shelf every single day.
They're doing it on purpose.
They're doing it on purpose because, remember, it keeps the medical industrial model rolling. I know it's a hard concept.
I mean Trump just signed off for Monsanto to make a whole lot more glyphosate. Think about what he just did.
EPA signed off to put dicamba back and basically start bringing on food crops again.
I know.
I mean, it's not like it's not bad enough with other environmental factors that's out there, besides having to add more herbicides into the food supply. So, my friends, be cautious. Do your best when you go to the store. I'll give you guys my personal advice. When you go to the store, be a label reader. Look at stuff. If it's got ingredients, read it. It's right in front of you. They've got to tell you what's in it. And they'll tell you what's in it. When you look at it, it is monosodium glutamate.
A lot of times they lie. They have to put flavor enhancers. They do, but
half the time you look at the brands, you look at the ingredients, you can determine pretty quick. When the first ingredient, soybean oil, just put it back.
Or canola oil.
Just put it back.
Hydrogenated.
Just put it back.
Yeah. Or high fructose corn syrup.
Hydrogenated vegetable oil. Sodium
nitrite.
When you see a key ingredient that's really toxic, you can pretty much be 100% guaranteed that the rest of the ingredients in the product are going to be pretty toxic too. That's one of the reasons why I tell people the key acid test, if you're looking at supplements and you're doing research, look at what the B12 is made out of. Is it cyanide cobalamin, which is unbelievably cheap, synthetic cyanide B12, body can't hardly process it, it's toxic to the liver, or is it methyl cobalamin, which we use in everything? The same thing goes with food. If you pull it up and it's hydrogenated oil or soybean oil, you see that in there, you know the rest of the ingredients are compromised because they're not going to put that cheap ingredient in there and put a bunch of other really clean organic ingredients around it. Rarely does that happen. So do your research, my friends. Continue to stay healthy, stay safe, stay strong. Have a fantastic weekend. Appreciate you guys. Check out the articles. I post them every week. I have Harrison write me all kinds of cool stuff. Here's one that wrote on Natakanis case report gets redacted. The real question is what medicine's afraid to study. This is the one that talked about what Natakanis did as far as with that thing from 2020.
They did redact it.
Oh, yeah, preventing blood clot.
I actually had the real printed copy of it, and I don't know where I put it, but then you went back to try to get the copy, and it was gone.
Gone, yeah. Another one here, we're talking about the teocrine from the attention factor. Eyesight formula, which is a super popular one. If you need to work on your eyes and vision, try that product out. Give me some feedback.
It usually takes about
30 to 60 days to get results.
Oh, my gosh, does it work?
Yes, yeah, so check it out.
Notice I'm reading without glasses.
Yeah, he has glasses everywhere. No, still. They're one on my side yesterday.
It's your side.
My side.
Let's get the crayon out. Hey, hey, I love you. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I'll see you at church on Sunday. You guys are amazing. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. And thanks for just thinking about us on an ongoing basis. We think about you always. And I love you guys. And remember, Jesus is the answer for everything. Austin, what do you got to say?
Grab the Advanced Collagens. You'll love it. Leave me a review once you start getting great results from it. Have a great week, my friends. I'll talk to you Monday.
Love you guys.